We have on the phone the Honorable Senator Mark Begich. Good afternoon, Senator.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. I appreciated the call earlier today, and I mentioned it to the chief of police up here that we were going to do another interview, and his comment to me was, well, Dave, why don't you let the senator talk this time? I thought that was a... It's hard to shut me up, Senator, it really is, but let's just get right to the... chase here, and that's what the changes in the Magnuson-Stevenson Act, because that really affects us fishermen up here, and that's really what we are. We're all about fish.
Exactly. Well, first off, we have what we call a discussion draft that's out right now. Discussion draft is to get input from folks, and we're getting good input, and there are several things we're already going to work to change from the original draft, and we had some changes to the definition of some of the issues, and we heard some feedback from commercial fishermen that would be problematic, so we're good with changing those and getting back to the original.
Right.
But the real issue is here is some tweaks we need to make. We got to recognize acidification of waters is a big part of our challenge now in our fisheries.
That's huge,
We
Senator.
Need to make sure...
I'm sorry to interrupt on that, but that's absolutely huge. You know, we talk about this global warming that's going on. That's not the issue. The issue is the carbon dioxide's getting knocked out of the atmosphere by rain, and that's causing acidification of the ocean. That is truly a huge problem, especially as far as fishermen up here. Sorry to interrupt. Again, I'll shut up, Senator.
No problem. But listen, that is one of the things we've heard from many different people during the hearings and the listening sessions I had. So... we're trying to recognize that as a challenge and things that we can do to combat that. We know we need to make sure we can do it. We want to make sure there's some verbiage in here to recognize sustainable fisheries, because that's a very important piece, as you know, for Alaska. The
right.
Third thing is that we've heard a lot of comment on is how do you manage the rebuilding of stocks. And what that means is right now we have a 10-year requirement that stocks need to be rebuilt over a 10-year spread for sustainability, which is important, but not all stocks can meet that level, so we got to figure out where that happy medium is. We have some issues around subsistence users that are not being recognized enough in the legislation originally in law, and so we're trying to put some better recognition of subsistence users in there. So there's a lot of, you know, I want to reassure people it's not a major overhaul. It's tweaking, improving, and listening to a lot of the feedback. So between now and the first part of June, we were trying to do by May 15th, but maybe the first part of June, we will get additional feedback and then come out with another draft that we will have official hearings on. And I think it's going to, you know, at the end of the day, we want to move this the right direction. I'm working with... Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. He's my ranking Republican, and we want to do this the right way. But I want to reassure Alaskans especially that as the Alaska senator chairing this committee, if it's not good for Alaska, we're not doing it.
Right.
But we're going to do everything. As I tell people, you can send all your lobbyists you want to Alaska, but the best lobbyists that Alaska fishing community has, it doesn't matter if you're commercial, sports, subsistence, is the chair of the committee, and that's me. So I'm going to use that position to make sure Alaska is well taken care of, but we recognize this is a national piece of legislation. So we want to make sure Alaska is taken care of and then recognize challenges around the country we have to address. So that's our latest piece we're working on, and we're excited because, you know, there's a lot of good conversation. I had an hour and a half forum down at Comfish where people were able to comment, and I had separate smaller meetings, and so we're continue to get input.
Great. That's good, Senator. And thanks a lot for all the work you've done on that. This other issue that is extremely important up here, and, you know, personally, it hits me strong, too. After I got out of graduate school, I focused all my attention to the study of ethnobotany, you know, and food habits of natives people. So I'm just way into, you know, the tribal mentality, et cetera. And that's probably the big draw why I am here in Sandpoint from the Seattle area. Now, so tell us about this extremely important issue of tribal self governance in regards to Akiatchak v. Salazar.
Yeah, this is a big issue. This is about putting tribal land into trust. And what does that mean? That means you put it into trust so the federal government manages on behalf of the tribes, but the tribes really run it, use it, so forth. but it protects it from being, you know, sold or being transferred out underneath the tribes. And there's a couple tribes, the Tlingit Haida tribes and Chilkoot Indian Association, who have come to the federal government to apply to put some lands that the tribe owns into trust.
Right.
This does not affect the lands that are held by the village corporations or the regional corporations. This is one of the big issues people had. Does this mean this whole Alaska Native Land Claims Act will change dramatically? No. What this means is when tribes have land or acquire land, that they will have the ability to put them into trust. That protects them from being taxed unless you're used for economic value and some other things. But it protects them so they're now treated like government lands,
right,
like the U.S. government lands or state government lands. This is very important to protect, especially heritage lands, hunting lands, and other things that the tribes acquire to protect some of their cultural as well as their subsistence uses. So this is one that we've been pushing on, and the federal government, through the court suit, as you mentioned, now has determined that they're going to be out. They have a 60-day period right now for the draft regulations to implement this. And again, this will not affect village corporation lands or regional corporation lands. That is a great model. It's worked very successfully. But this will empower tribes if they desire to acquire land or allotments they may have to put them into trust to protect them in perpetuity. And I think that's a good thing for our tribes. And you know, it's not like in the lower 48, but we do have some that have allotments or they have acquired properties that they would like to put into trust. And so it's a big deal.
No, I understand. The other thing, too, dealing with tribal self-governance, and that's policing themselves, because out in the bush, further out in the bush than we are here in Sand Point, sometimes the tribes are not represented by a police force, and they're not allowed to police themselves. I know Senator Murkowski's been on that issue, and that's really has my attention because it's important. People can get away with murder, basically, you know, because there's right. No law, and it has to stop. It's, you know, the tribes should be able to police themselves, and if, you know, a white devil like me was to live, you know, in the tribe, I would be under there. They're police, you know, in laws, and
that's right.
I think that's important. Well, how do you stand on that, Senator?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say one thing too. One more comment on the lands in trust. When that land is put in trust, it will empower them to do on that land economic development,
right,
public safety, and other things like a government will be able to do. But along with that, I have a piece of legislation, Safe Families and Village Act, that Senator Murkowski is a co-sponsor of. We're very, you know, there's one thing, I know this may be tooting my own horn, but I think what Alaska is very lucky to have both the Democrat and Republican, the both of us, Senator Murkowski and myself.
Definitely.
When it comes to Alaska issues, we work hand in hand. We're both on the Appropriations Committee, which is very unusual to have both senators on there, both on the Indian Affairs Committee. And this bill, Safe Families and Village Act, is we just had a hearing on it. We hope to have a markup on it. This will empower tribes to take more ownership and opportunity to create public safety around the issues of civil issues around domestic violence, sexual assault,
right,
child abuse, substance abuse. As you know, these are very important issues in our rural community. So
they're huge.
You know, the argument I would give is that the state system has not worked. You know, we got too many young Alaska Native men and women in jails today. And really what we should be doing is turning to our communities and saying, what can we do to make sure these young people don't spend their lives in jail because maybe they had a substance abuse problem that led to domestic violence or led to sexual assault or some other issues. Let's see what we can do. And I think our Safe Families and Village Act bill will do that. Now, I will tell you, the state of Alaska does not like this bill. We're going to work with them. But they're not very happy about it. But, you know, Senator Murkowski and I recognize the importance of working within our villages to make it better life for the communities that are there.
Yeah, there's a grassroots movement going on, too, now in Alaska. It's really taken hold, and Sand Point is quite a group. It's called Take Alaska Back, to where we try to offer, you know, lifestyles that are healthy rather than falling into the trap of drugs, etc. So we want to, you know, offer things for the youth to do instead of, you know, falling in into a way of errors. And I'm asking you just to take a look at that. Just call Take Alaska Back and just keep that in your sights. It's like I said, it's a grassroots movement that's really, really starting to get some movement. The other thing here, this the last thing that I'd like to talk about, because I know nothing about this contract support cost. What is all this about, Senator?
This is a big issue. So, as you know, our tribes deliver health care throughout all of Alaska via the Indian Health Services. Indian Health Services grants the amount of money, then the tribes deliver the care throughout Alaska through the tribal consortium. Usually, Indian Health Services, the government agency, would do this. But
right.
Many years ago, we saw this as a better way because we could deliver better care based on the region. So as it was being delivered for the last 17 years, the federal government has shortchanged the reimbursements. And that has been going on year after year. And I wish I could tell you why this has occurred. I can only tell you where we're at today and why no one, you know, and I'll be a little harsh here for a second. You know, we got a governor and administration that I've had to deal with the last few years, and
sure.
All they do is sue on everything.
Sure.
But they didn't sue on this.
Hmm.
They should have, because maybe it would have resolved it some time ago. But when I came on the Indian Affairs Committee and the Appropriations Committee this last year and a half, I said, enough is enough. And I said, look, first, you got to pay them 100%. This is like any other contractor. They're a contractor delivering health care to villages all across the state. If they didn't do it, then the government agency would have to do it. So
right.
You got to pay them fully. So for the first time that I can ever recall, this last budget cycle, fully funded. Second, this next year, fully funded.
Right.
Now, the question was, how do we get all the money they shorted them for years? So I did something that was a little, you know, some might say risky, but the Indian Health Services director was back up for confirmation in the Indian Affairs Committee, meaning she has to be approved by us before she can be full director again.
Right.
And I refused to do that. So I held her back, and I said, look, I want some movement here. I'm not going to argue over the amounts. What I want is a process that gets settlement to these folks that have been waiting for 17 years. Now, this is not just in Alaska. This is all across the country.
Right.
So we have been very fortunate. The last few months here, there's been some action. Alaska alone, out of the $289 million we've gotten settlement so far across the country,
mm-hmm.
Alaska will receive over $200 million of that for back payments that are due to these tribes that have had to dip in their own resources to cover these costs over the last 17 years. This is a huge windfall, and I will use my positions, I will use my clout to push the envelope and get these things resolved. And now we're getting some action, and I'm very, very happy that now they can deliver health care, being paid fully for the services delivered. So I think it's a huge win for Alaska. And, I mean, think about it. I think when we're all done, we'll be close to $250 million of back payments fully paid to us.
Yeah, I saw the stats on that. You sent it to me, and I was really kind of amazed. All I can say about this, the issue in general, is I'm sure you're aware of this. Democracy runs very, very slowly. And I would like to say this in closing, Senator, that on behalf of Southwest Alaska, I want to thank you for the tireless work that you do for the Native peoples, us fishermen, and all Alaskans in general. Thanks a lot, Senator. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. We'll keep pounding away, and thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, Senator. Anytime. Thanks again.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. There it is, Senator Mark Begich, the great state of Alaska.